Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. Now, there's no set schedule here. It's just whenever I finish a science fiction book, I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed. Except today is going to be a little bit different. A special show, or a cop-out show, depending on which way you want to look at it. I'm going to be going through lots of different science fiction series that I've read and giving quick opinions of it, or at least that's the plan. First of all, some quick news. I've been very busy. I'm travelling at the moment, working on a cruise ship, currently going through the Beagle Channel, which is a bit right down there at the bottom of South America. Of course, called the Beagle Channel. That's where Darwin sailed many, many years ago. And I've just come from Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in the world, and tomorrow I'm going to be in Punta Arenas, which is also the southernmost city in the world. There's two southernmost cities in the world, one in Argentina and one in Chile, those two old rivals there. Punta Arenas is actually the larger city, but slightly further north than Ushuaia, and there's actually a town further south still. I can't remember the name of that, but that's not big enough. It doesn't have a big enough tourism like infrastructure to be able to back up its claim of being a city. It's actually just a small town. So there I am. Some feedback. Been lots of really good feedback for ebooks because I recently got my sort of like iPod Touch ebook reader called Stanza. Really, really enjoying it. I've tried out quite a bit of non-fiction. I've been reading quite a bit of non-fiction recently on that because, you know, it's easier to get it and read it offline than trying to find non-fiction in print, or at least some stuff that I want. So that's been really good for that. And thanks a lot for all the suggestions for ebooks. So I said, hey, if anyone's got some good science fiction ebook recommendations, lots of people mentioned places to find science fiction ebooks, like lists of places, websites and directories and libraries, loads and loads of titles. And that's great. The thing is, I don't need suggestions of where to find the books. I can work that out myself. Google is my friend in that case. And like 20 people emailed me about like the Bain Free Library. The thing is, of the authors I know on the Bain Free Library, I've already read the books, and I've already read those titles, you see. So what I need is suggestions out of all the books. You know, don't just tell me where to find them. Actually give me specific examples. And quite a few people mentioned Ventus as a book to read. So I'm reading that at the moment. It's quite enjoyable. I haven't finished it yet, though. And Hyperion, I left that book at home because I was trying to keep away from carrying books around with me because I've got like four or five books still to go on my iPod there. So, thanks a lot for all the suggestions, but I want specific book title suggestions. That's the way I'm wanting to go now. I just wrote down something here about my own writing. I've almost finished edit number 4 of my first novel. I'll be sending that out to a new round of readers to get sort of like a final set of feedback before releasing it on the world, just as an open download where anyone can download it and read it if they want to. Maybe I'm going to do it as like maybe a print on demand if there's enough interest of people who want to read it but don't want to read it as an ebook or something like that. So if you actually want to read it first before anyone else gets to read it and give feedback, this will be your last chance to give feedback and have any influence over the novel at all. One of the main things that I want is a better name for the novel, because so far I've been using the working title, which I only used it to save it for the first time, and it was named after a character in the first chapter of the book called Edward. So I've always just called it Edward, you know, open bracket, working title, close bracket. The thing is, Edward has been cut out of the book completely, so now I've got a book named after a character who isn't actually mentioned in the book at all. So if you want to read it, yeah, send me back a suggestion with a name there, because I'm really stuck on that. Email me luke@juggler.net if you're interested. And if you're not interested, I decided to write some kind of blurb for the back cover of the book, or using maybe some kind of a promotional kind of material for the book. So this is it. I'll just read it straight out here. A wealthy investor living the high life. An outcast returning to his homeland after 20 years. A computer programmer looking for a new challenge. A shadowy figure pulling strings behind the scenes. A student with an unusual problem. This novel follows a wide cast of characters as they try to find their way in an uncertain future, coming to terms with new technologies, shifting politics, natural catastrophes, and other disasters on a more human scale. Many questions are raised along the way. Who are these people and what links them together? can any one person change the world? And if just because you can, does it mean that you should? So, that's the idea behind the book. Of course, there's a lot more going on, lots of action. There's even, like, space flight and lots of stuff like that going on. But, you know, I tried to keep it down to, like, three or four sentences, like, tiny paragraphs for the back of the book. So that's it. And so if you're interested, go for it. Email me. I was actually thinking of doing a podcast version of the book, but it's just too difficult because the structure of the book just doesn't lend itself well to me reading it out, and I'm notoriously bad at reading stuff out. Like whenever I'm trying to read out an email that's been sent out or like an extract from a novel that I'm reviewing, I trip over all the words all the time. And also, I'm not really sure because I'm a podcaster releasing a novel, but it doesn't contain vampires or zombies or superheroes. You see, and I've been doing my research about sort of podcasting a novel, and it seems like that's the only material that gets podcasted. I'm not entirely sure, but that's what it seems like to me. Anyway, moving on. Final little bit that I want to talk about here about ebooks is actually the reason that I'm not finished any science fiction novels is because I had a go at a chunky fantasy novel because, you know, it's always annoying to carry them around. But I thought, hey, I can read one of these things as an ebook and it'll be fine. So while researching, you know, that's a post hoc rationalisation actually, because what happens while researching ebooks, I found a link to a website of an author called Brandon Sanderson. Instead of just releasing the final book, he's actually releasing each edit of his new novel on his website for free as he goes along. So I read the latest version, which is just at just before the very last edit, which is called copy editing, where someone else goes through it and picks out all the spelling errors and, you know, all those bits that goes on before you send it out to you to actually get printed. You know, it's already gone to the editor, already gone to the publisher, and now it's just the printing copy that they need to do. And you can sort of tell it while reading that it hadn't had that last sort of session of formatting. And overall, the story was really good. Normally, epic fantasy sort of bugs me because I know that the story won't end for another three books. I'm sort of tying it into, you know, that's actually something that inspired the podcast today that I'm going to do when I'm going to go through lots of series and, you know, spend 30 seconds per series of three books or whatever it is going to be. So that's what I don't like about fantasy normally is that science fiction books, they normally, you know, you read one and it's a standalone novel, but there just happens to be another two set in the same universe as a series. Whereas fantasy, it's like you start reading, you know you're not going to get all your questions answered about the book from the beginning until like three books later. But this is a standalone novel, so I was like really looking forward to it, and it was really good. Lots of fun magic stuff that I've never really read before. I can't remember the name of the book now. Warbreaker, that was it. So if you want to look it up, Warbreaker is worth a read. But here's the thing that I want to mention. Remember when I was talking about Ian M. Banks' novel, his latest one, Matter, how I was really surprised that the end of the book suddenly just arrived so quickly? And I was thinking, well, there's still like 70 pages left of this book. Because then after the end of the book, there was the appendix, and then the real end of the book, and then an interview with the author, and then a chapter from a previous novel right there. So you sort of like really caught me out as the end of the book. And the book, this book that I was just reading as an e-book, this unfinished novel, I wouldn't say it's unfinished. It's a finished story. It's a finished novel. It just needs a little bit more work on it. But I had a very similar experience, only worse this time around, because there's no progress bar on an ebook. You know, you're reading and you're going, okay, yeah, that's good, but you're not quite sure actually how much you've got left. In a normal book, you just go, okay, there's this chunk of paper on one side of the book, the page that I'm on now, and there's this smaller chunk of paper on the other side. So you're thinking, okay, I'm getting near the end now. The only thing you can do with ebooks is actually just look at the chapter list and go, okay, I'm on chapter, say, 15 of 29. That's what actually happened with Warbreaker. I got to you know, I looked at it, 29 chapters. I'm like, that's really good. At chapter 25, I'm like really hyping myself up getting towards the end of the book here. Because, you know, there's lots of threads and character stories and lots of mysteries still to be solved. And I'm thinking, okay, wow, like four chapters to go. He's going to really pick it up and there's going to be just packed full of twists and there's loads of action for the end. But then those last few chapters, they weren't like that at all. And like at chapter 28, I was coming to the end of chapter 28, I was thinking, this isn't a standalone story. I'm thinking, this isn't a standalone story. I'm going to have to wait years to find out what's going to happen to these characters. And then I loaded up chapter 29, sort of pressed next. Chapter 9 comes up. And it was like 700 pages long. It's like this massive next chapter. Like, well, I say 700 pages. They're 700 iPhone-sized text pages, so not actually 700 pages, I don't know, maybe 50 pages, no, probably a bit more than that. I don't know how many pages that would be in in a real paper book, because they're displayed much smaller on an iPod, is what I'm saying. So then it turns out, though, that when I was reading chapter 29, it wasn't just one massive chapter. The formatting, as I said, there still needed formatting to do, and the ebook formatting was mixed up. So all of the last chapters, all the way up to chapter 38 or whatever it was where it really ended, were sort of just included into chapter 29. So I kept on reading, thinking, wow, you know, these last like 700 mini pages to go. And then suddenly it ended, and I was really caught out again. And then after that, I found there was a series of notes about the edits, and then like talking about, and then like a previously released book, you know, there was the first chapter of that put there at the end as well. So in those last two nights of reading the book, I went through so many different confusing things and turns of emotions. I really didn't know what to think about it, because I was like, woohoo, coming up to the end of the book, and then it's like, oh no, there's going to be a sequel, and then, oh no, there's loads more book, and then, oh, well, wait a second, this feels like a last chapter, and then it is a last chapter, oh, what are all these notes, and then it's like, oh, okay, I give up. But it didn't really spoil my enjoyment of the book as much as it did with the book Matter, because I think overall this was a better book, or is a more enjoyable story, you know, all the way through. The pacing was really good, unlike the pacing of the book Matter, which was, you know, just no good at all. I think that was one of the most disappointing things about that book, was the pacing of this book was really good. And so what I'm actually thinking is that using the twisting of the formatting and the manipulation of the reader's expectations throughout the book could be harnessed really well as sort of like an element of artistic expression, because these two recent experiences I've had, one with Wallbreaker and one with Matter, I'm thinking you could really do something here where you sort of trick the reader into thinking they've got more of the book or less of the book to go, and then just ending it maybe at an unexpected point, or make them think that it's coming to the end and then go, aha, but it's not one chapter left, it's five chapters left, and they're thinking, oh, okay, five more chapters. So I'm not sure how it could be done, but I think a good writer could probably use the new technology of an ebook, or by just padding out the end of his book with more and more appendices and not telling us in advance that they're going to be there or something like that. Anyway, I've been talking too long already about that, so I'm going to go to the topic of today. I'm just going to introduce this. I've made a few notes here of the reason why I'm doing this. First of all, lots of people email me with book suggestions, which is great. Keep them coming. Always keep sending them in. I reply to everybody who emails me saying, you know, if I've read the book, or if I will read it, or if I'll look out for it, or something like that. Send them in. luke@juggler.net is the email address there. The thing is, many people suggest books that I've read before, and I don't mind this, because if it's a good book and I enjoyed it the first time out, I'll happily read it again and review it again. I've done that with quite a few books here. The thing is, though, that lots of people don't suggest a single book, they suggest an entire series of books. For example, I just went through some just today when I was in the internet cafe, I went through some recent examples. There's Jim, he was going on about the Revelation Space series of books, specifically Chasm City, but he mentioned those as well. Someone else, and I cut off the name of the person who sent me this email when I copied this email into a text file here. He says, you know, two authors I'd like to hear your reviews for are Stephen Baxter and Greg Bay. He says, especially the Zeely and Manifold books for Stephen Baxter, also Ian and Eternity for Greg Bay. And David sent me an email saying, I also like how you sometimes review the classics. I have a suggestion that you review Philip Jose Farmer's Riverworld series, or at least the first book of the series, To Your Scattered Bodies Go. And I had another email that I couldn't actually find in my inboxes or in any of the folders in my various email accounts, when someone recommended the Otherland series by Tad Williams, and I actually had a sent a long email back saying, yeah, I really enjoyed that series. It was in, he actually recommended it in relation to the book Snow Crash, because there's lots of, like, Otherland is like the metaverse but done better and written well and actually interesting and exciting to read, unlike Snow Crash. Anyway, the thing is about this series, is that there's a huge time commitment to get through these books, especially if I've already read them before, and especially if I'm going to review each book in the series when I read it. And again, there's this other big problem. It's like, okay, if I'm going to review a series of books, like I'm doing at the moment with Peter F. Hamilton's Void trilogy, it's like, okay, how do I talk about book two and talk about the plot of book two without spoiling what's already happened in book one. It's turning out to be really hard. Another approach that I could do, especially if I've already read the series of books before, is like I've done with the Dune series when I talked about the novel Dune, and also Richard Morgan's Takeshi Kovacs series. I'd already read all the books, but so I just reread the first book in the series, which in this case is they worked as a standalone novel. And then at the end of that sort of in-depth review of the first book, I'll say, oh, and the second book is good, and the third book is good, and the fourth book is all right, and, you know, it starts tailing off at around about book X, you know. But the thing is, other series aren't made up of standalone novels, so I couldn't just read the first book and then not read the rest of them and review, but try and review them all, because that would be really frustrating for me. So the result of all of this is pretty much this podcast. I've been going on 15 minutes and not actually done any reviewing so far. So what I'm going to do is go through all the series of science fiction books that I can think of. I say think of. I looked up on a Wikipedia page called List of Science Fiction Series, and I picked out the ones that I recognise or that I've read and liked and stuff. And also I looked at a few of the top hits on the Google results for List of Science Fiction Series. So it's not the ones that I could think of. You know, I just got this list that I'm going to go through now, and I'm going to say if I've read them or not, or how many titles I have read, or which book I stopped reading at, and, you know, and it maybe if I'm going to read them again, and how much I enjoyed them, and if you should spend your time on it. It might not work very well, but I guess if it doesn't work, you'll never know, because I just won't release this podcast in the first place. And I'll try to go quite quickly, not spend maybe a minute on each of the series, maybe a bit less than that. And again, I'm not really ruling out doing a full podcast on each of these series, or maybe a full series of podcasts on each book in this series in the future. I'm just letting you, my listeners, know which books I've already read and which ones you should maybe try to convince me to read in the future or read again in the future and review. So, a little bit of a special episode here, but let's go. So I'm going to flick to the other text file I have here that I copied off the internet and go for it. Here we go, starting off. Again, a bit of a random order, just how I copied them off the internet here. Starting off with Stephen Baxter with the Zeely series. Now, this is a really interesting series. I actually quite like this, but it's like serious, hard science fiction. You've got the books Raft, Ring, Flux, Time Like Infinity. You've got Vacuum Diagrams, which is a series of short stories, and they're all really good, and it really does go from sort of like near future all the way through until the final ultimate end of the universe. But by the time it gets there, I think the sort of books they're not quite as strong as at the end of the universe kind of spectrum as they are at the beginning. But I really enjoy this. There's a lot of stuff going on here of all these books. The thing is, because I read them all quite a long time ago, I can't remember which ones I enjoyed and which ones I didn't. So maybe this is one of the kind of things I'll need to go back to and check out again, but I really enjoyed it. Also, Stephen Baxter with the Manifold series, which is called Time, Space, and Origins. I really like this because it's not so much a series set one book after the other. They're all set in different kind of timelines or different universes with different rules in each one, but talking about the same characters. They're sort of like reoccurring characters, and each of them have got like the same ideas. In other words, they explore one question, and there's always sort of like one guy, this entrepreneur who puts together a spaceship out of old NASA rockets and goes off to the moon or does something like that. And there's, you know, this anthropologist character, I think it is this female. And I really like it, and especially, I guess you could read them in any order, but when you actually read them all three, there's something in Origins where, you know, it actually comments on the possibility of lots of different universes with different rules in different ways, and one character goes, oh, imagine that happening. But actually, that's what Stephen Baxter has just written, and I really quite like that. Next up is The Merchant Novels by C.J. Cherry, and actually, I think I've got one of these books at home. I should just read one of them. They're the books like Down Below Station, and to be honest, I can't remember the other books off the top of my head, but I really enjoy these books. For example, it's the example that I always come down to is that they're space opera set in space, but they're about humans, and I really, really love the close, intimate details that she goes into when she's writing these things. One quote I read about these books, which really rings true for me, is that she can, like, like in these books, you get more tension and more drama out of a conversation between two people than you do with the space battles that are going on at the same time. And that's what you read them for. So I'd recommend any of those. I think those, most of those can be read in any order. So it's not so much a series. It's more of like a universe with standalone novels there in one series. Isaac Asimov, Foundation series. Lots of people hold this up to be just the best series of books in the world. It's won many awards and it's always on the top of lists of the best science fiction series ever. I actually enjoyed it all right, but to be honest, not as good as some of Isaac Asimov's other series. I much prefer his sort of like the his detective robot detective stories, for example, The Caves of Steel and the Sun. I can't remember the one after that one, but I actually enjoy those things more. The thing is with the Foundation series, it starts off with just lots of short stories put together in a book, which, to be honest, I enjoy more as short stories than them put together into a series of books. It's like each book is three short stories and then they were released as a series of four books, and it just feels a bit disjointed and it doesn't hold together well. Although it's lots of good fiction, it doesn't hold together well for me as a series of novels. And then there's the other ones like Forward, the Foundations, and the other ones which are talking about, is it Harry Seldon? Yeah, I guess it's like the ones with the guy who set up the Foundation before the Foundation series. And then there's the whole David Brin and Gregory Brenford, like the other ones. And I just couldn't get into them because they're writing in this with the same character, but they change all the science around. It's like they go, oh yeah, well, the science that Isaac Asimov wrote isn't real, so we're going to write it as like hard science fiction. And instead of having like super drives, we're going to have wormholes. And it sort of just killed the whole idea of Foundations because they're not writing in the same universe. They're writing in a different universe, but with the same characters. And I only actually got two books into that. I never actually bothered with a third book of that sort of like prelude to Foundation series. But otherwise, yeah, Foundation, pretty good. But I always think a bit too overhyped. Again, same with this second one from the same list that I found of top, like, best ever science fiction series. Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Book one, fantastic. Book two, good. Book three, it just sort of like, I really did get sequel fatigue with that. Even though I read them all and I enjoyed them all, I just don't get the hype around Douglas Adams. Yeah, sure, it's a fun book and it's an interesting book, but I always find it's like, as comedy writing, it's very good. As science fiction, it's also quite fun, but not as good as, I think it's like science fiction that can appeal quite well to people who otherwise aren't well into science fiction. I'm not knocking it at all. I mean, it's really good fiction, but again, I've never really bought into the hype about it. For me, it's just a good series of fun novels which tails off towards the end, rather than just the best thing ever in the world ever. We've got David Brin, Uplift series, and this, again, there's some of them which are actually set in the series. Other ones are sort of set as standalone novels in the same universe. And I actually really like this. It's and anyone actually who actually asks for and then reads my novel, I sort of have a, like a little nod to the idea of Uplift and the whole idea of that apes and dolphins and these other intelligent creatures could be brought up to a human level intelligence if we only let them, or if we help them out in some way. And I really like that kind of thing, and it's good space opera, and there's lots of other interesting aliens, and yes, and just good books. I really enjoy them. I don't think I've ever read an Uplift book which I didn't thoroughly enjoy. Starting off with Sundiver, which I thought was just a really interesting book when I first read it. It was something new, something I'd never read before in science fiction. Also, a quick note about myself as a professional juggler. There's something that you can do if you're a juggler and you've got a partner, that, or you want to find someone that you can juggle with, that you can pass clubs with, which is where you throw clubs at each other and you can do all kinds of stuff. And it's really good, it's really sociable kind of activity. The thing is, if you've got your girlfriend and she can't juggle, what you do is you uplift her into becoming a juggler. And this is what I actually did with my girlfriend. She couldn't juggle very well at all, at like three balls or something. And I'm a professional juggler, so I uplifted her. And then we put together a show and we could perform together professionally. And I actually explained this to Paula, my girlfriend. And then I showed her the book, the Uplift War book. And then a few days later, we're talking about it, and she, or we're not talking about it, but she said, "Oh yes, I've been ape lifted," and I'm like, "What?" And she said, "Ape lift," and I'm like, "What? Oh, uplift." And she thought it was ape lift, or she just didn't remember correctly, because on the front of the book, Uplift War, was it was a picture of an ape. And so now whenever I think of Uplift, I actually think Apelift, and then have to think, no, it's not Apelift, it's Uplift. Anyway, so pretty good there. We've got Frank Herbert's Dune, and then Dune Messiah, etc., etc. I've actually done a whole podcast on the book Dune, and I've mentioned the non-Frank Herbert Dune books. I don't think I need to go into it much more here, except Dune, fantastic. The next few books, really, really good. Sort of tails off around about, you know, the Heretics of Dune. Dune Messiah is sort of like, you're going, yeah, I'm not really quite sure about that. Not Dune Messiah, Chapter House Dune, whichever the last one is there. They sort of tail off on the last two books, but the first four books in the Dune series are fantastic. And then anything which doesn't have the word Frank in the author, Frank Herbert, who isn't Frank Herbert and is instead Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson, try at your peril. It's like bad fan fiction in the set in the universe of Dune rather than a proper Dune novel. And the last few that I've tried to read, the Sandworms of Dune and the Paul of Dune novels, I actually wanted to poke myself in the eye with a blunt spoon rather than finish off those novels. Same kind of thing happened. Well, not the same kind of thing. Let me just go. Ender's series by Orson Scott Card. Ender's Game, probably one of the best science fiction books I've ever read. Speaker for the Dead, the next one, probably in the top 10, again in the top 10 science fiction books out there. Next up after that is I think Xenocide, also pretty good. And then Children of the Mind, sort of, again, you're getting sequel fatigue by then, and the story just isn't as good, and the world isn't as good. And Orson Scott Card seems to be breaking the rules, or not breaking the rules, but sort of changing the rules of what actually made the previous books really, really interesting by that time. So I just wasn't so interested with that last book. But at least Xenocide is still a pretty good book. And then he went back and started writing the Shadow books. And this is where it felt a bit weird, because I read Ender's Shadow, or Bean, which is the story of Bean, and it's sort of like a parallel novel to Ender's Game. And it's like, okay, well, that was sort of a bit weird. But then just introducing these, like, this new characters at the end of the book, when Ender's already left the book, just to, like, introduce the character for the next novel, it seemed like a weird sort of, like, gratuitous setup, sort of just to comment. It's like, oh, yeah, this bit of science in Ender's series wasn't quite right. So here's a book, and I'm going to just mention that it wasn't quite right. And this other character realized it wasn't quite right, just to show you that, hey, you know, I all along knew that the science was wrong, but it's a bit weird to do that kind of thing. And then I tried reading the next book, and it was just, I just couldn't get into it at all. It was sort of, it didn't have the same spirit as the other Ender series, and it seemed really like, in the same way that Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson are just cashing on the memory of the father's great work, which is the Dune series, it seemed like Orson Scott Card is just cashing in on his previous work and just churning them out there. And that's why I've not bothered with Ender in Exile. I will do in the future, it's just for now I'm feeling a little bit cynical about those books. Moving on, Night's Dawn Trilogy by Peter F. Hamilton. Not going to read and review this again, because this is one chunky book, and you can't just read them as standalone novels. But it is worth reading. I don't think it is Peter F. Hamilton's best work, but it is very representative. If you actually do like the idea of some kind of spirituality and sort of ghosts and other, like, returning from the dead and reincarnation, but told in, like, a science fiction, like, massive, you know, space opera kind of style, good read. Sort of like the last, again, with Peter F. Hamilton, he does this quite often. He can't finish a book properly, or in my opinion, he sort of goes all the way through, and I love the characters, love reading them, you know, it's absolutely amazing. And then at the end of it, it's just like, oh, and now we'll just turn this person into a god. Now, I'm not going to say that. I should edit that out, because it doesn't happen at the end of every book, but it sort of, you can see it coming sometimes. Commonwealth Saga, also pretty good. I've mentioned that a few times so far in my Void Trilogy review, so if you want to know more about that, go back, read it. It's a two-book series. And then there's the Mindstar Rising series, which is... The main character is someone... Greg Mendel or something like that. I haven't read these books for a long time, but they are pretty good. They work quite well as standalone novels set in the near future, sort of 21st century Earth. And worth reading if you like that kind of stuff. And again, it's by the end of book three, you're like, oh, I wonder who's going to become a god here and sort out everything. Excuse me, I'm just going to blow something. blowing some crap off my laptop there. So, next up, The Culture isn't a series, lots of standalone novels just set in the same universe. I've talked about The Culture by Ian M. Banks enough when I've reviewed Matter and Use of Weapons. I'm not going to go into that again, just to say it is one of my favourite universes to read about. Next series, Book of the New Sun by Gene Wolfe, which starts off with the Shadow of the Torch or something. Not actually read this, I've just included this here on my list because it is a series, a classic of science fiction and fantasy that I've just never got around to reading, and I've never known why. I've always seen the books there, but I've never seen the first book. And then I think, maybe I have seen it, but I saw it as the Book of the New Sun, or I saw the standalone novel rather than, and I didn't realise it was the Book of the New Sun, because the Shadow of the Torturer doesn't sound like a science fiction book. I'm not sure. So it's just one of those books that I've never got around to reading, but so many people have recommended it over the past year and a bit that I've done this podcast that I'm definitely going to get to this series. Really enjoy it. Next up, Philip Jose Farmer. Dayworld trilogy. I have read the first two books in the Dayworld trilogy because it's Dayworld and then Dayworld Rebel, and then I can't remember the name of the third book because I've not read it. Really enjoyed the first two books, and again, it's one of those series. It's like I've enjoyed the first two books, no problem at all. I mean, it's really good. Had a lot of fun with them. Just never read the third book. Can't remember why. And of course, Riverworld. And this is one that I don't know why that I've never read past the first book. I have read the first book, To Your Scattered Bodies Go, but never continued. And I don't know why. But I will do this because Philip Jose Farmer, he died like a few weeks ago. And I think like reviewing the Riverworld series, or at least the first book in the Riverworld series, like Tim, I think it was Tim who emailed me about that. Like he said, I will give it a go. Next up, Isaac Asimov's Galactic Empire series. I think I've actually mentioned these before. Was it the Foundation? I guess the Galactic Empire is the Galactic Empire that was... It's in the same universe as the Foundation. And I guess it was all tied together with the robots and Empire and Foundation. And they all tied together into the same universe with some, like, retroactive sort of, like, correcting of timelines and stuff like that. And I always think the one that I enjoyed the most is The Pebble in the Sky, which was obviously set in the Empire, but was talking about how the Empire had lasted like a million years rather than just a few thousand as it was later done. So I'm maybe, like, Pebble in the Sky was rewritten later to sort of, like, as I said, to sort of retrofit it into the robot to Empire to Foundation kind of series. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, I'm not quite sure which of the books in the Empire series, but again, I really like Isaac Asimov, and sometimes a bit hit and miss, but a lot of his short stories are fantastic. A lot of his novels are short story style, sort of blown up into a novel, which again is good, but I'm always a bigger fan of his robots and his mysteries, which I really like. Next up, The Gap Cycle. I didn't make a note of the author. Oh, no, yeah, Stephen Donaldson, that was it. Stephen Donaldson, I looked this up because I recognise the name. I think it's because people have emailed me saying, hey, you should read these Gap books. I think I've read the first book. Can't remember the name now, but because I didn't make a note of it. But maybe it's just because I never realised it was the first book in a series and then didn't continue. But I probably will read one of his Gap books again and review it because quite a few people have recommended it to me. So if you think I should read it, email me again and get me to read that one sooner. And next up, The Deep Sequence by Verna Vinge. I guess this means the deepness in the sky and the Fire Upon the Deep. Or I think it's Fire Upon the Deep was written first and Deepness in the Sky was written second. But they do stand very well as standalone novels. But the second book, Deepness in Sky, is actually set earlier on in the timeline of this world. And the thing that I absolutely love about this universe is the aliens, which are really, really interesting. For example, the idea is that the closer you get to the galactic centre, the more stupid you become and the less intelligence works. Like, computers stop working and artificial intelligence can't function down there. And when humans try and go in that direction, they're really stupid. But as they go out from the galactic centre to the rim, then intelligence can go to other more levels and you can think faster and computers work faster and humans are more intelligent. So you can get these really interesting aliens which would never be possible Because you just think, oh no, that wouldn't work because it would be impossible to have some kind of brain to organize that kind of thing and they wouldn't be able to work. But then you think, oh no, but all you need to do is just go into like the more intelligent zone of the galaxy and it'll be able to work then. And humans, as they head in the other direction, they become more stupid. Anyway, I really enjoy this kind of thing because it can work really well with, like, you can have in the same universe, you can have post-singularity, godlike kind of technology. But then at the same time, if you just travel a bit towards this galactic center, you can have more kind of medieval, kind of no computing allowed, that kind of thing at the same time. And I really like that kind of setup there. So some of my favorite science fiction standalone novels, and it was only when I actually looked at them in this list that I realized, hey, they could actually be thought of as a sequence or as a series. He has written other series, The Peace War, and then Marooned in Real Time, and I think he's got some other smaller series, but then generally around about two books, and I'm not going to go into them all here, but Verna Vinge, very good author. Yes, I like it a lot. Ringworld and the Known Space, I guess, series by Larry Niven. Ringworld, really, really good fun book. Ringworld, second one, Return to Ringworld. Ringworld 2, The Reckoning. No, I don't know what it's called. The second Ringworld is good. The third one is, I really struggled to finish it, and I've never actually read further on, but I know there's quite a lot of books set in the Known Space world, which I've just never really got onto it. They called it the Man-Xin Wars, I think, but I've never really got into that world a lot, although I have read quite a bit of Larry Niven, never really got into that kind of thing. The thing that I was mentioning before about sort of like going, aha, and there was something wrong with my original novel, and there was some bad science in it, so I'm going to write a sequel and put the science right. So that's what happens between the first Ringworld book and the second Ringworld book. But in this case, I actually quite liked it. Oh, Ringworld Engineers, that's it, of course, because they've got to go back and they've got to re-engineer it to make the science fit so Ringworld, the first book, could actually happen. And I actually think that's quite a fun concept as a reason to write a science fiction sequel, to put the science right, seems quite good. In this case, it worked quite well as a novel, whereas in Ender's Shadow, it just seemed a bit gratuitous. Next up, Kim Stanley Robinson, The Mars Trilogy. I think is one of the greatest works of speculative fiction, science fiction, near future, pretty much talking about the new society, culture, civilization that is set up on Mars and the terraforming that goes along the way. Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars. I've only ever read this once because it is a huge undertaking, but it is one of the most memorable novel series that I've ever read. For example, one big feature in, I think, the first book or maybe the second book, is the space elevator that they put in place. And of course, you read about space elevators quite a lot in science fiction, but this is the series which really brought the science, like the science to life, and the ideas of the space elevator to life. And again, of course, the what happens to the first space elevator really has an impact on the story. So many times that you read about a big technology and like, well, that's good, that's great, but what does it actually mean? Whereas in this book, he uses the technology so well. I'm really impressed by it. So definitely, if you've never read the Mars Trilogy, you can't really call yourself a science fiction fan or reader. You've really got to do it. And that's actually one of the main reasons why I read the book Antarctica that I reviewed last year, was because of the first part of the Mars Trilogy. It's like the astronauts are training in the place which is closest that they can find to Mars on Earth, and which is Antarctica. So I thought it was set in the same series, and it wasn't. It's a different series. Or I guess, I mean, maybe they could be linked together, but I think they're two different sort of worlds that he's created. Another thing that Kim Stanley Robinson has done is the Gold Coast series, which is sort of like a thematically linked series, again, rather than actually set in the same world or in the same future. I actually have the Gold Coast at home, and I'll read that and probably update you more on that series once I get there. Next up, Revelation Space by Alistair Reynolds. I've reviewed, I think, two books, but three stories set in the Revelation Space universe on the podcast already. I've talked about it quite enough there. Otherwise, a very, very interesting book, very dark, quite noir kind of stylings going on there, but always really good. And the one book that I've read by Alistair Reynolds, which wasn't set in his Revelation Space world, I thought absolutely sucked. I read it a few days ago, didn't I? A few podcasts ago, that's when I reviewed it. So pretty much stick with Revelation Space. It's like a more modern series, and I really, really enjoy it. It always talks about what happens Let me explain this. The reason I really like it is because there's no faster than light travel, and he goes, okay, what could be possible in the future? And he explores it there. It's based on current day technology. The reason that I really disliked his recent, or the recent book that I read from him, let me just bring up the list of podcasts here so I can quickly look. Oh, Century Rain. I really hated Century Rain compared to them, mainly because it was like, any technology was worth it. It's sort of like he didn't, like, everything that he thought up is like, oh, I'll have that. Wormholes, great. Fast and light travel, great. Starships, great. Nanotechnology, great. This, great. That, great. You know, big dumb objects, great. Whereas in his Revelation Space universe, it's sort of like a lot more grounded. It seems that the novels just feel very grounded in reality, and yet the stories are very fantastical at the same time. Next up, The Heechee Saga by Frederick Pohl. Again, I've only ever read the first book of this, which was Gateway, and never heard anything good about the following books. And actually, when I reviewed the book Gateway, other people emailed me to say, yeah, I've never heard anything good about the following books either. So maybe I'll try to continue my Heechee Saga reading with Frederick Pohl. Probably not. Next up, The Shadow Children Sequence. I've already mentioned this. Yeah, The Shadow Children Sequence by Orson Scott Card. Don't have a lot to say about that. Space Odyssey series. We got 2001. And this is, of course, Arthur C. Clarke. 2001, we got 2010, we got 2090, was it 2080? And then we got 3000. All of them interesting books in their own right. Very interesting. The last one, 3000, A Space Odyssey, or A Space Odyssey 3000, I can't remember the exact name of it. By that time you're thinking, yeah, okay, it seems like we're just rehashing old ground. The idea is that Dave, who gets locked out of the airlock by Hal in the first book, he was frozen in space and they managed to bring him back to life again. So you still, even though you set them like another 1,000 years in the future, you get to see what happens with the Lucifer system 1,000 years in the future when the sun starts burning out and another kind of thing with the whole monoliths. No, what do you call them? Monoliths? I can't remember. So it's a pretty good series. The first book is a classic, for mainly, I think, because it was, you know, very visionary at the time. But I'm not sure they stand up today. Otherwise, the Rama series, I think, is also good. The Rama is a book which it just... When you're reading it, you're always just thinking, wow, this is true exploration of space. This is like, okay, we're sort of written at the time when we sort of get into grips with our own solar system. You know, the probes have gone to Mars, we're out past Jupiter and stuff like that. And you're, okay, we need something more wondrous, and it's bringing something else into the solar system that we could explore as a real mystery, because Mars was no longer a mystery anymore, I think, when this was written. You know, the canals, you know, that had all been, you know, cleared up. There aren't any canals, and it's, well, we want some more mystery. And these books really bring that about. And then you get onto Rama 2, Rama Revealed, Rendezvous of Rama. I can't actually remember the order of the books. And they go off in different ways, and you sort of meet other sort of aliens, and there's a whole kind of dystopian society set up in one of them and things like that. And they all look at them in different ways, and they're written not just by Arthur C. Clarke, also with Gentry Lee. Maybe as well. And again, I don't think they hold up to the original Rama and the second book, Rama 2. Rama 2? Rama Reveal? Whichever one is the second one, I guess, in Rama 2. But they're still worth going through. I don't think I've ever read the very final book in the series, whichever one that is, I can't remember. Next up, Otherland by Tad Williams. We've got, I can't remember the name, the series of the book, but it's 4 massively chunky books. And this is one of the cases where once you start reading it, you've got to read all 4 books. You can't just read one and then leave it, because they're not standalone novels. And I think this is another one of those great kind of like science fiction yet fantasy influence kind of things. It's all set in computer kind of matrix kind of world where you're not quite sure what's real and what's not real. And also at the same time, there's loads of different references to other science fiction books and other literature as well, you know, because anyone in this huge computer kind of simulation world they set up their, you know, you can choose what the rules of the universe are, and you can choose this and you can choose that. So people create like a world which is set in the same world as the War of the Worlds and Alice in Wonderland and ancient Egypt and the Odyssey, and, you know, like with the Trojan War and all these other kind of things going on, and the characters can go in there and take part in these historic worlds or other literary worlds. And I really love that kind of playfulness. And yet overall, it's a really interesting book with interesting characters that you actually really like. And there's sort of like some kind of cyberpunk stuff going on, but it's not punk. It doesn't have that kind of punkiness where I, you know, in these other cyberpunk and the also steampunk books that I reviewed so far, there's got this ethic with the characters that I just really don't like them at all. And the main characters are like anti-heroes, but not very interesting anti-heroes. So in other words, you've got unlikable and uninteresting characters at the same time. Just, oh, I don't really like this. Whereas other lands, the main characters, you really like them because they're the good guys. And then the main bad characters, you like, you really don't like them because they their motives are really good and their psychology is really good. Otherland series by Tad Williams, well worth it, even though it is quite an effort to get through it. Okay, I've been going on 45 minutes here in this podcast. I've really got to fly through these last few books in the list here. Cities in Flight by James Blish. James Blish, another fantastic series. Actually, I think short novellas or short stories put together into a single book. You can just pick it up and read the series in a single book, and it's great. It's called Cities in Flight because literally you're following New York in space. Literally, and it's really good fun. And you get from near future stuff, maybe 21st century stuff, through to the end of the universe and beyond, and it does it in sort of like one chunky novel. But it is a series of stories. And I think that's a real kind of achievement there. Like Stephen Baxter in his Zeely series, you can go from like near future to the end of the universe, and it takes like 9 novels or 6 novels or whatever it is. And James Blish managed to do it in like one short series that fits into one novel. It is amazing series. I really do it. Do like it. Planet of Adventure by Jack Vance. Now, of course, Jack Vance did lots of interesting series. I'm mentioning this one because it is one of the most memorable. Planet of Adventure, you follow this one guy. I mean, the spaceship crashes on this planet, and he's trying to get off and trying to survive there. And yeah, so you've got these different, like these 4 different kind of aliens who live on this place. You've got the Chash, you've got the Didier, you've got the Noom, and you've got the Wank. And I made a note of this because, yes, it is actually a set of aliens called the Wank. And if you're not British, you're probably going, why is that funny? But believe me, the Wank are funny. So that's an interesting book. The first 3 books, really good. The 4th one, it's like he was just in a bit of a holding pattern and just wanted to tie up the loose ends, and it's a very disappointing 4th book. But the first 3 are really good, and then they're very short books. You might as well just read the 4th one at the same time. I'm not sure how available these are at the moment. Next up, The Neanderthal Parallax. I don't know why I made a note of that. I can't remember what that series is, so I'll move. Oh, no, Hominids by Robert J. Sawyer. That was the first book. Really didn't like that. Maybe I'll check out the next book in the series, but highly unlikely, because that's one of my lowest rated or least enjoyed books I've read so far in this series. But maybe if you can convince me. Nobody's managed to convince me to be able to go on with the second book in that series. Next up, if you really like Neanderthals, here's a good set of book: A Requiem for Homo Sapiens, which is by otherwise known as the Neverness series of books. There's the first book, Neverness, and then a series of 3 books after it by David Zindel. I actually mentioned this series in my top 5 science fiction books ever, I think, with Neverness. Or maybe it wasn't in my top 5, but it was like top 5 of a list of 5 books that I think wrap up science fiction. I think Neverness could be mentioned there because it's like Dune-like in its scope, and on like an opposite planet. It's not a desert planet, it's an ice planet. And yeah, they mention Neanderthals, but then again, they go across the whole galaxy, and there's huge big, you know, questions and people becoming gods and religions being set up in other people's names. I think it's a fantastic series, and it's like intense. You've really got to work at it to get through this series of novels, but they're consistently good. Like, you start off and if you think, okay, okay, I'm going to start this book, I'm going to start this series and go through to the end. Every single one of them is quality through to the end, unlike even the Dune series, which sort of drops off, and all these other series that sort of drop off to the end. A Requiem for Homo Sapiens and Neverness, that set of four books, I think is strong from beginning to end. But your mileage may vary, because it is a bit dense, that kind of thing. The Uplift universe, I've already mentioned that, I must have made a note of it twice. The Void trilogy, I'm actually only two books into that at the moment, by Peter F. Hamilton. More updates as it continues. Hyperion Kantos, which is Hyperion and, I guess, Fall of Hyperion and some other books by Dan Simmons. Again, I've got about two chapters into Hyperion and just haven't got round to getting on with it and reading it more, but I do have it at home. I will get on and read it. And I think that's about it. After about 50 minutes now of podcasting, I've got to the end of my series. Now, I know there are more series out there, but these are the books, these are the series of books that I've either read and enjoyed and remembered, or read the first one and remembered that I enjoyed the second one so much less that I dropped it and didn't continue, or never even bothered with the second book. And generally, actually, it's the list of books that I found today, and I can't remember any other series of books. But I know I've read more than that. I'm sure I've read more than that. But if you think there's other series of books that I haven't mentioned now, this is your chance to send in and say, read this book. I remember one person on the wiki page, the Future Books I Should Read wiki page, said the Stainless Steel Rat series. He said, read the first one of them. And I've never read that, because I've always looked at it and thought, wow, there's this book, there's this book, there's this book, and it seems to just go on for like 20 books. And I never really wanted to pick it up and get into that series, I think by Harry Harrison. So I've never done that one. So maybe I'll go in that direction. Otherwise, yeah, now you know which books I've read, now you know which series I've read, you can either try and convince me to read them again and do reviews of them if you want me to, or get me to read a series that I've not read yet, and I'd love to get stuck into, or you think I would love to get stuck into it as well. Just actually thinking about it now, I kept on saying, oh, I really like this series, I guess it's like a self-selecting kind of list that I read there. Because, of course, if I read a book and I don't like it, I'm not going to read the next in the series. If I read a book and I don't realise it's in the series, I'm not going to mention it here in this list of series, because I wouldn't have classed it as a series. So maybe that's another reason why most of the series here I really enjoyed and really think they're worth it, and that I think you should, like, pretty much all of the ones that I've mentioned now, unless I specifically say, don't bother reading past this book. You can read and enjoy, and, you know, some are better than the others, but I'm not going to give them all star ratings or anything like that. But there you go. I might stick a rough list of this up on a blog post on lukeburridge.com/blog, and I'll link to it from the podcast feed post, and I'll put it all in on the wiki, the sfbrp.com/wiki, or is it that? I can't remember. Yeah, anyway, you'll be able to find the links to it and find all the information. Send me email feedback about this podcast. I'm sure lots of people have a lot to say. luke@juggler.net, or leave a message on the appropriate post in the blog. I think I've just broken record. This is probably the longest podcast I've ever recorded, but I think I've covered a lot of material today. I've covered probably 15 years now of my science fiction reading in around about 50 minutes. Or part of it, or a significant part of it there, with all those trilogies and series that I've read there. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. If not, well, email me to say, hey Luke, just finish off Ventus and finish off Hyperion and review them instead. Get back to your normal stuff. But anyway, hopefully this has been something special and you've enjoyed it. And again, if you want to read my novel before I release it online, finally, just email me, luke@juggler.net, and stick, I want to read your novel, in the subject line. So that's about it. I'll catch you next time.